ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Soleri Report. It is my absolute pleasure to join someone who needs no introduction here, Laura Goniger, who hosts our Future Science series and does an occasional amazing special report when something pops up. And so everyone at the Soleri Report knows her. She has been helping me with a very important topic, which is how do we see the control grid in time to stop it? I'm a great believer you can't turn the ship before the iceberg if you don't realize it's there. And I've been talking with her for the last sort of couple weeks about this. And so finally we decided, okay, we're going to do a Soleri report and see if we can describe the control grid sufficient as it comes into place, sufficient to help you see it in our lives. The topic of our conversation is control and freedom happen one person at a time. And the way freedom happens, in my view, is we help you to move from a person being controlled to a person being incrementally more and more free. So Ulrich, I can't thank you enough for agreeing to do this conversation. It's been quite a discussion between you and me on this.
Yeah, it continues our many discussions about this. And I think it's one of the topics that is often on my mind. And I also would like to say how important it is that we all realize where we are controlled and that it's happening so much closer than we all think. You know, I have been studying mind control for many years, and I've been following your teachings and your expressions on this and hints at this. At the same time, it takes an awful lot of time, even if you conceptually, abstractly understand it, mm-hmm. to feel, yeah, this is around me now. And we have no more time. I think you are totally right. This is a critical moment where we have to understand that if we don't stop it and see it in our lives, in our personal lives, we can see so much mass formation and mass hypnosis. We will not be able to penetrate if we don't see it in our lives.
So this was inspired by a theory that's been bopping around for several months, called mass formation psychosis, and mass formation hypnosis is sort of a variation to calm it down a bit. But, you know, the critical word in it is mass. We're not going to describe it or go into it today. But what happened to me is I heard allies and subscribers who I thought understood the control grid coming into place, they completely bought the notion that we had had some form of mass hysteria or gone mad as a crowd, as opposed to understanding everything we're dealing with, including any popular consensus, is being engineered one person at a time. And I was stunned at the absence of real understanding and inability to see how the grid is coming into position in our place. In other words, COVID-19 is an op that was engineered one person at a time, and it's helping to build the control grid that will control us one person at a time. And yet what I was discovering is I had not effectively communicated and helped people see it. And so
I think you have communicated many, many times. It's really hard. You know, we're all intelligent beings, especially your subscribers, our top intelligence. And yet we are under this spell. And we think, now we have an explanation. The media give us, or someone gives us, the mass formation. And we see all those pictures of, you know, the Third Reich and the masses walking and yeah, of course, but I'm not, I see through this. And now what you, and what I've only recently, honestly, only recently began to feel is that, no, it's, I'm being watched right now. And there's a file on me right now. And it's very personal. and very intimate and individualized. And that needs to sink in. For most people, it doesn't yet.
So you know me, I love movies. And one of my favorite movies, it was Movie of the Year in the Solari Report, is The Lives of Others, which is about artists who are being under 24/7 surveillance by the Stasi in East Germany before the wall comes down. And, you know, they have physical teams of people with trench coats following them and, you know, bugs in their house. And it's sort of the old model. And it's very hard for us to conceptualize. It's one of the reasons I always use the movie Enemy of the State, because you take a wonderful lawyer working in a professional bubble in Washington and you cause him to realize that he's in the, you know, essentially a digital concentration camp, and he's trying to see it and struggling with seeing it. So that's very helpful. Now, that only brings you to the technology as of sort of 1996 or so, but it still helps you understand the Stasi teams. You know, each one of us can have an entire Stasi team 24/7 because it's all done with AI and software. I remember once telling a wonderful ally about, he had not believed me about the mortgage fraud, and because he didn't understand the control grid. And he said, look, they can only do these kind of covert operations with, you know, so many people. And I said, don't you understand they can do this, you know, almost all with AI and software. They don't need people. It's automated. And he couldn't conceptualize it.
That's the threshold. We have to really jump. I'm also reminded, you know, living here in Germany, I have friends who are from former East Germany. And for them, it was a revelation afterwards when they were able to look into their files. Everybody had a file.
Right.
And, you know, think about the logistics and the amount of work and money and administration this needs. But what also came out of that is that they were surprised who was spying on them, how
right.
close, even inside of the family, this could have been. And now, as you're saying, if we don't need to do this anymore, we have our phones that spy on each other.
Right.
And every conversation is literally presented on a tablet.
Right, right. Anyway, so we'll dive in. There are two things I do want to say. There are two steps we have to do, or there are two steps Mr. Global has to do to get the control grid to snap into place. One is to bring down the constitutions in the G7 nations, because the constitutions still maintain a real barrier, no matter how eroded they are. They still maintain a barrier that they can't just punch through. The second is they need to get into place a 100% digital financial transaction grid. And we have many debates going on between CBDC and crypto, or between, you know, but all these things lack the understanding that 100% digital, whether it's a Visa card or crypto, you know, we are under complete control. Now, that requires a certain hardware and software infrastructure, and that's part of what the smart grid and 5G are all about, and the satellites. So they've got to snap in. You know, part of my goal is to stop 100% digital transaction grid, but the other is to protect those constitutions. Okay, so let's just walk through the existing control grid and what I call the covert social credit system. We've seen a social credit system in China operating. What many of us don't necessarily realize is 80% of the Western social credit system is already in place and operating on an invisible or covert basis.
Yeah, and that's the realization. Really, even it's harder for us. There's this beautiful film, this pivotal moment where they are showing all kinds of people
right.
being tracked, especially in China. Now, we have to realize, and I think we can, through Snowden and Bill Binney, appreciate that we are also being tracked, but we don't put it on our own person yet. And to realize that this personalized control is there in the hidden form is that main threshold. We can't see it yet, but we have to get to feeling it, to accepting it, otherwise we will not be able to do anything about it.
Right. And the term I keep using is digital concentration camp, which I got from one of the Archbishop in Slovenia who used it. And it's such a perfect example because I'm always getting these disinformation mailings saying, FEMA is going to put you in a camp. I keep saying, no, FEMA is going to turn your home, your car, and your community into a digital concentration camp. You're going to be in a free range camp. Mm-hmm. And except it's going to be very scripted. Okay, so I wrote an article to kind of help form my thoughts on this called Control Happens One Person at a Time. And we'll put the link in the show notes for this. But I describe three different systems, and that's what I want to walk through. One is basically the financial incentives and risk management at a very sort of the carrots and sticks of the money at an intimate level was sort of system number one. System number two was the telecommunications, mind control, and tracking surveillance. And of course,
with blockchain.
Yes.
Yes.
Very dangerous. And then the third is covert operations. Now, on all of these subjects, the Salieri Report has published a wealth of information. So those links are in that commentary. We'll put them again in the discussion. And so if you want to dive into anything we're discussing today, you know, there's a wealth of information. But let's just dive in. The first one is financial incentives and penalties. And I find this to be one of the most powerful control systems. It's thousands of years old, so it's not new. But digital technology makes it much more powerful and much more invasive. And we've seen this with COVID-19. I wanted to start with one example. I've run into it in thousands of places, in all government money as it rolls down into communities. Our economy is very centrally controlled. And, in the developed world, it runs through the federal budgets, their spending, their credit, their appropriations, their contracts, their regulation. But it creates very granular carrots and sticks. And we've seen in COVID-19 the way those carrots and sticks have worked on the doctors. The doctors feel an obligation. If you're a doctor with a big practice, you have employees, you have people who depend on you to feed their families, you have a family, you have kids, whether your practice has a budget or your household has a budget, you have a fiduciary obligation to all these people to keep your operation going, and you are consistently threatened with a loss of your license if you don't follow the CDC or FDA protocols or do what they say, or there are enormous incentives. If you say, we saw Paul Thomas come out with a study of how much more money he makes from vaccinated kids as opposed to unvaccinated kids. The reimbursements by the government and the insurance companies is engineered at a very, very detailed level.
Yes, and we see the same here in Europe. All the testing centers, I didn't know that at first. Anybody can open a testing center. And you make huge amounts of money. I have friends who have a business. It's actually a dancing school. They can't do their business. They have opened their rooms to a testing center and they make much more money now. So, there's a friend of mine who is an alternative doctor and a general practitioner. And he's vaccinating because there is a lot of money coming in.
Right.
So it's quite saddening how this is being used and how also people are being put into this quagmire or into this squeeze of having to decide. And it's well done. I think everybody is transparent to those who are doing the control, and it's fed to them in a very particular way.
Right. One of our teammates pointed out that a friend of theirs The family, the mother had taken the injection and then suddenly developed cancer and died very quickly. And the coroner, who was sympathetic to the family, came and pointed out he was going to list the death as a COVID death because then they could get $9,000 to pay for the funeral and the burial. Right. So you're basically paying people to, you know, you poison them and then you pay them to affirm your narrative. Right.
So and for them, they will be contributing to furthering the narrative because they have to come to terms with their own reality. They have accepted the money. It was the best for us to do. She's dead anyway. And then, you know, you explain away that it's actually a lie and you're contributing to furthering the lie in the public.
This control of experts, we've seen it with CPAs, we've seen it with investment advisors. All the different professions are being put on a government-controlled or insurance company or bank-controlled model where if they don't toe the line, it pits their fiduciary obligation to their family and their employees against their fiduciary obligation to the human race. And, you know,
and so
I saw it many, many times when I first got to Tennessee. One teacher just retired because the parents were lobbying her to certify that the kids were ADHD when they weren't, because if they did, they could get a Social Security disability check. And they needed that money to pay for the kids. So they were literally, the parents were being paid to drug their children. Right. And it, another one, you know, sometimes there's just intercession. I had a reporter at one point who was freelance who said, you know, I've decided I'm going to make it my personal mantra to tell the truth about what's happening to you and what it means to the American people and the budget, you know, that what is now $21 trillion is being stolen, because she understood the ramifications someday to what it meant to our retirement and healthcare. Anyway, so I had to Xerox all the legal documents, and this is what inspired me to later put them up on the web. So it ended up with 3 cartons of legal documents shipping to her. A week later, she called me and she said, I am so embarrassed. She said, last year I tried to finance a business. I only needed $700,000. But no one was interested. And out of the blue, I just got a call. And I think it was Goldman Sachs. I forget. It was one of the big firms. They're going to finance my business. It's a miracle.
It happened hundreds of times.
I used to say to people, and she said, I hope you're not upset. I said, no, don't be ridiculous. This is how I bless people. You get in cahoots with me, they buy you away. This is how I bless you. But it happened hundreds of times.
And so that one was
how you're targeted, how you, your whole life, your whole conversations, your whole decisions, you think it's your life, it's your business, you're doing the only decision making, and yet you're guided. And it's so precise.
No, it's a creepy feeling, because I'll never forget one time when I was on Wall Street. It was after I'd been made a partner, so it was a big deal because I was the first sort of woman partner in a major Wall Street firm. I'm informed that I'm getting this huge award that, in my opinion, I didn't deserve. It was strange. And I thought, why is this happening? What is this about? Anyway, we go to the award ceremony. It's a huge dinner, all this stuff, blah, 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 blah. And I realize, oh, my resume is being pumped for something. You know, I'm being positioned for something. You know, it had this creepy feeling because I felt I didn't deserve it. And anyway, but that happens a lot.
It's about the honesty to yourself, to reality. And it's again about seeing reality. I think we are under this haze of who we are, what we want to become and what life is and the government, no, they mean well, etc. That is part of the spell. And then it comes down to the granular even.
Right. One of the things I wanted to mention was I just did a debate with Mercola on Bitcoin and crypto. And, you know, you run into these Bitcoin believers or crypto believers, and they're wonderful people and they're smart and they want to be free. and they have no idea of the risks of a 100% financial transactions grid, and they can't get out of their space, and they fall into a trap that every speculator I have ever known in my entire life falls into, included me, you know, the first couple times. If it makes money for me, it's good. And if it makes a lot of money for me, I'm a genius.
Okay.
No, we used to, in the 80s, we had a huge bubble, and I would ride out to the Hamptons in a helicopter or a bus with all the guys from Wall Street, and they all thought they were geniuses because it was going up. And I had one partner at the end of the 80s who got so mad at the bonuses the traders wanted. He did an analysis and was able to prove if we had put monkeys in the chair, we would have made more money.
Oh, yeah.
If you just ran an index.
Yeah. Well, because everything was going up. When the Fed just pumps and bubbles the assets, everybody makes money. So, you have to go through many, many years of dealing with bubbles and speculation and financial fraud until you kind of see the game. And if you've never been in that situation, it's very hard to see the game.
Anyway, more
especially the young people working on the crypto and believing that this is this decentralized and the freedom.
Right. We're going to get to it in the second thing, but it's also cooked up with mind control. So the online systems cook up the mind control. So one of the greatest ways of tracking what's really going on in reality is to understand how the money works around you locally or in your firm or industry. And what's remarkable is whether geography or financial geography, the current population is really illiterate. And that makes it very, very hard to understand what's going on in the money, and very easy to control and manipulate people. And it's one of the reasons I encourage everybody take a look at, take a look at how it goes. Perfect example. So I wanted to give an example of how I'm controlled and manipulated, because it's really important to understand we are all controlled and manipulated, and part of becoming free is navigating your way out of that. So as most of our subscribers know, we've been struggling with censorship through the online payment systems. Mm-hmm. And then in December, PayPal announces that if we get more than a certain amount of sales in January, that they will impound our money for, I think it was up to, it was many, multiple weeks. And we couldn't get an explanation as to why our sales would be suspicious. The amount that they were going to cap our sales in January was 50% of last January's sales.
Uh-huh.
And they were saying that any more than 50% of last January's sales was suspicious, mm-hmm. but they couldn't tell us why. Mm-hmm. And it was odd because they have been the payment gateway since 2008, and our products have essentially not changed.
Mm-hmm.
So there's no change in the products. And because of the payment gateway, they see every invoice. So how could it be?
Yeah.
How could it be suspicious?
Yes, exactly.
Right. Anyway, so we had already started Cash and Coin. We're trying to bring our online sales down and do them through the Cash and Coin program. But that meant we had to dramatically drop our sales during January, mm-hmm. so that we didn't go over. Now, what was happening was at the last day of December, they impounded a significant amount of money. We clear the account twice a day usually, but they impounded sort of, an overnight amount, and they couldn't explain why. And all they said was in 6 weeks, you have to write and pull it out. Well, their stocks started suddenly tanking because their growth has been less than their targets, but people are canceling.
Yes.
I mean, not just us, but in response to all the censorship. Anyway, so it's a combination of factors. I don't think it's just a reaction to the censorship. But suddenly, in the middle of January, as we were dropping significantly our sales through them and working to move our payment gateway to another firm, we got below the line of the limit they said. Suddenly they unimpounded our money for with no explanation. Mm-hmm. And but we came way under the line. And if you look at the fees they lost, mm-hmm. it's significant, especially when their stock is dropping for loss of business mm-hmm. And loss of making the targets. Anyway, but if you look at how much time our team has spent yeah. on flipping to cash and coin, hiring people to help us yeah. process cash and coin, working with the subscribers, it wastes their time too. We've tried to make up for it by giving them a new, you know, an extra 3 months for free. Because it is a real investment of their time anyway. But if you look at all the time and energy that's gone to flipping off, mm-hmm. you know, I'm doing everything I can not to promote sales in January mm-hmm. because we don't want to bump into the limit because it's more work.
Exactly.
So we're literally censoring our own sales, you know, and Mr. Global's been able to do that.
Yeah, that's right. It's incredible. And I also learn a lot from how you handle this by, you know, taking this challenge and turning it into a new situation that brings actually more freedom. And I think this is what right. hopefully listeners also will get from this, that each of these situations that we're discussing has freedom is also one person at a time, as you are saying.
Well, I discovered this during the litigation. Every, you know, every grasp is an opportunity to find a way to go free. I was constantly in these situations where people would say, you have to go along, it's hopeless. Mm-hmm. And I would say, no, I refuse. And then the question was, okay, how can we find a pathway? Yeah. And one of the things I learned was first you have to say no.
Yes.
And then you have to invent or create the pathway, which is not always immediately obvious. I mean, I you know, I had my utilities turned off. I'll mm-hmm. never forget one day I got up and I didn't know how I was going to buy food that week. I went to the post office and a complete stranger from Apple Valley, California, sent me a check for $100. And mm-hmm. I was like, oh, I can buy food. So, you know, you have to find a pathway where you can be useful for other people. And the pathway is to say no and then say, okay, you know, how can I turtle through this, finding a way to be useful, but surviving myself? There's always a way, but you have to believe. There are many other examples we could use of yeah. the nuts and bolts, but I assure you, this is all managed at a one person level. I'll never forget when I first got into rural America and watching literally somebody loses their job. You know, the plant closes, they lose their job. The next day, there's a Chase credit card being offered to them at a 30% interest rate and the drug dealer's at the door. And you know that's relational database marketing. It's all coordinated. It's place-based optimization. And they're managing that person at a time. And it's an opportunity to exploit them.
And I hope people are listening to that. It's so granular and it's so personalized and it's so yeah. precise that they come to your door offering you the solution into even more slavery. So right. I think it's a very personalized also decision to be free and to value freedom and to take the exercise to think about all the financial incentives and realities in my life to where could there be a hidden control. And it's work.
So, the hard thing for many people is to understand how much a dollar is worth in a leveraged financial system. Mm-hmm. So at the peak of the bubble before the housing bubble, a dollar bank deposit got translated into $164 of loans. The leverage was enormous. But then you lever that in the stock market even more, and then you lever it with derivatives and debt even more. And so a dollar on the ground can translate into right. thousands of dollars.
Exactly.
When I wrote Narco Dollars for Dummies, I looked at three kids on the corner in West Philadelphia who are dealing drugs every day. And I estimated how much money they could make for the system if you ran it through the local franchise yeah. food chain that was famous for laundering money. And what
so
I realized
it makes
is
total sense to control on a granular system, even if we only think that they are greedy. So it makes total sense.
Well, three little kids in West Philadelphia, 14, 15 years old, could generate $4 million on the stock market cap of the company that was, looked to me like it was probably laundering the money. And that's without the derivatives or the other leverage.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, no, it's if you look at how the financial model works, and it's all backstopped with government credit and taxpayers' money. Anyway, I could go on for hours, and if there's demand for that, I will. But let's go to the second system, and that is mind control and media propaganda and education. We did an interview several years ago with Joseph Farrell, who wrote a book where he goes through the different kinds of mind control, from entrainment and subliminal programming and that kind of mind control to propaganda and media and then education. The one thing I want to stress is that literally with digital TVs, what you think is mass media can be tailor-made for just you.
Yes.
So while you're watching the Queen of England enjoy her birthday, and on one digital TV, I literally, it went underneath the screen. It said, Catherine, the Queen so appreciates your, you know, celebrating her birthday with her. And I got this rush of warmth that was like, oh my God, you know, because I don't own a digital TV. I've never owned a digital TV. I was, you know, I was in a gym, but you know, it's not mass marketing. It's individualized to you.
What we experience on Amazon and on our personal account, we are used to personalized advertising by now on the internet or maybe even on the phone that they, we have experienced. We talk about something, buying a car, and the next you get an advert. But that this is, we have not yet connected the news, the mass media, the information flow on TV and on all the screens into our personal, whatever it is, how they find us, how they signal us. And one part of your story in the gym where you feel this, first of all, it's your name, personalized, speaking to you, and then you feel this warmth. And that is very, very important to find out, and this is what I mean by feeling the control, accepting or sensing it. We have to become aware of this. Even feelings and many thoughts are generated, are not our own, and we have to understand that these feelings have been put into you, and they can be triggered by electromagnetic waves.
So in the commentary, in Control Happens One at a Time, and in this commentary, I'll put the a collection of mind control links that I'm constantly recommending on Solera. I put them originally, I had a meeting with a wonderful group of essentially grandparents in Memphis, and they were saying, what is happening to our grandchildren? How do we get them out of the trance? So I put together a collection of the best links on mind control to help them understand both what was targeting kids, but also sort of how the technology, the history of the technology. And these are just sort of the best links we've found so far. We're always adding to them. But I did a Solera report in 2010 about entrainment technology, because as an investment advisor, my clients were being defrauded with it. In other words, they were being targeted with financial investments where they were guaranteed to lose money or lose money relative to what they could do. And entrainment was being used to really trick them into it. And so I decided, okay, I've got to do a Solera report in entrainment. But I tell the story of the first time I knew it was being used in investment conferences and analyst presentations. Because if you looked at some of the fact patterns, like on Enron, I would say the only way you could explain this is if they were using entrainment. So I knew it was happening, but I'd never experienced it personally. And I tell the story in the Solera report of walking into the, it was a gold conference in New Orleans. I open the grand ballroom door. I open it and I feel the way, I said, oh my God, they're using entrainment. You know, so this is like, okay, I'm going to get to experience this. And I went in and I was working really hard. Got to control my mind. I can't, you know, let myself be influenced by this. And then suddenly it's like I spaced out, and suddenly I find myself clapping and turning to the guy next to me and saying, "Isn't he wonderful?" When it was what he was saying was stupid and he wasn't wonderful at all. And I stopped in midair and I was like, "What am I doing?" Yeah. You know, but it tricked even me.
Yes.
You know, and I thought, "Ey."
And please, none of us are exempt. We all have our points of, and they are known, where we can be tricked, and awareness. And, you know, we did the Wim Hof, and we're going to also some of the solutions, but becoming aware of yourself in any situation is a fundamental key to freedom.
So I have to tell you, I think the Wim Hof method is so helpful to busting through the mind control. Because one, the breathing exercises get your mind back into a higher consciousness where you can get your perspective. And perspective is, you know, adds 80 IQ points in this situation. But the other, I don't understand it yet. I'm still trying to figure it out. But the cold showers and the ice baths, it's like they shock all the energetic blubber out of your system.
Yes, this is one part. And the other part is that you stay in your frame, in your clarity, even under duress. The cold, in this case, is a duress that is measured, that you can handle, and expose yourself more. But then you will more and more train yourself to be able to have this clarity, coherence, and presence, and perception in... you know, duress is also being targeted by electromagnetic waves.
Right, exactly.
And so it helps for everything. And this is one way out of the mind control.
So I really, I try and get everyone who subscribed to this Slayer Report to listen to your presentation on the wave genome. Mm-hmm. Because we have a physical body, but we have an electromagnetic body. And I think understanding the electromagnetic body and understanding field dynamics, whether it's Sheldrake or Lynn McTaggart's writings, understanding our electromagnetic body and how we share intelligence through fields helps tremendously to see this part of the world.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And
so hopefully people will sense a field, and that's my intention for this conversation also, that... Yeah, it's not just another talk about mind control. It's really, let's face it. Let's face it. There is this wave of control, and on so many levels. We have spoken about the financial. We are speaking about the IT, the technological, the digital. And perhaps we need to continue on that, the digital with the blockchain, because it goes far deeper than crypto enthusiasts are thinking. Blockchain is the technology that integrates all the three pillars that we are talking about. It's in fact integrating all of our past and future control, and globally also. So this is a technology that there is a worldwide blockchain forming. And it's quite worrying.
Well, because if you look at the transaction control grid, instead of being on a gold standard or instead of being on an oil standard, we're going to be in a human standard. It's called slavery.
Yeah.
If humans are the collateral for the transaction, you know, you literally are in a slavery system. And that's what the World Economic Forum has said. It's 2030 and you have no money. Yeah, you know, you have no assets and you're happy. Yeah. And what I hear is we've stripped you of your assets and you're mind controlled. Mm-hmm. So,
and the way the blockchain is being used also for education, this type of social impact bonds, and how everybody's lives, everybody's conversations, everybody's interests, everybody's skills, everybody's training is being on the blockchain and traded, as you're saying. Now we are the trade object.
I don't know if you remember this, but when I did an interview with Alice McDowell, who's illuminated a lot of the dangers of blockchain. And I went through all of her material. I was sort of hesitating to do it because I knew it would take a great amount of preparation to go through all her material. It's voluminous. And I went through and I realized finally, oh, now I see what's happening. Right now we have a lot of exceptionally wasteful poverty programs which are used to control people, and investors make 1% on treasury bonds financing them. Mm-hmm. Now we're going to have even more wasteful poverty programs to control people, which are much more deeply invasive and much more controlling. But now investors are going to make 10 to 20%.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's that.
And it's that cold-blooded.
Yes, absolutely.
Like blockchain is like a social DNA. And actually, I would like to refer just briefly back to the Wave Genome and also to the second part of the nanobots report that I did. If you remember, there is the ability of the scientists to record images and video or all kinds of information in DNA. And right. What I find fascinating, they call it a molecular recorder. And so, in a sense, this blockchain is a recording device. And ultimately, I think there will be a merging of the blockchain idea with the DNA. And they are recording all of our lives, events, our thoughts. And I think there is going to be trade with that. And that may be a trade that goes further.
Right. It's when John Titus finally finished his CBDC report, we're about to mail the hard copies. It was very chilling for him because he thought, oh my God, they're going to use humans as collateral. This is deeply, deeply gruesome. And that's before getting into the integration into the physical body issues of whether it's the injections or many of the other things we've talked about. We'll put up links for some of the great sources. And again, we have the mind control tactics summary at Celeri, but I did want to mention that the mind control and the surveillance and the IT systems get so powerful when you combine them with the financial incentives, nuts and bolts.
Mm-hmm.
And literally, as you're being tracked 24/7, they can figure out how to make it wonderful or painful to herd you day to day to day.
Yeah. And even people who think they cannot be bought, as there are people who think they cannot be hypnotized, which is a big trap. There's people who think they cannot be bought, but if you're mind control ever so slightly, ever so without your knowing it, and then the incentive is given you or the stick is shown to you, you don't realize that you're bought.
I realized because many times, and it was particularly with Big Pharma, this would happen. I would look at a story and say, this story is going to cost me anywhere from $2,000 to $20,000 of hacking expense if I run it.
Mm-hmm.
Can I run it? And sometimes I would say, no, I can't afford it. I'll link to it, but I can't afford it because I don't have the $20,000. In other words, if you've got to run an operation on a self-supporting basis, you have to pick your fights, and they hurt you by that. You know, when we published the big pension fund study, I was flying back from the Netherlands and 20 minutes before I landed. So I published the full study of what's happening with the pension funds. It was the one with the cow and the farmer is milking the cow. Mm-hmm. And then the milk is going downstairs and being stolen. Anyway, so and my whole thing on the pension funds is, why are we putting milk into a bucket that's got a hole in the bottom?
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't make sense.
Mm-hmm.
So I published the pension fund and I was so proud of it. I was just thrilled. I go to the airport, get on the plane, 20 minutes before I land, our whole site ripped to shreds, and it takes me a month to bring it back.
Oh my God.
And we were working on a whole new site, but we got it up much faster than we expected.
Yeah.
But that was the price, I believe, of the pension fund report. And it was worth it to me. I would have done it no matter what. But, you know, if you're in business, you have to think about, okay, which fights can I afford?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And it's a herding technique.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so let's go to three. Covert operations. We did a huge 10-part series.
Can I just inject one more thing on mind control?
Yeah, please.
Just one brief mention of this fabulous book, Secret Don't Tell. We're going to talk more about this, but this gives you hundreds of years of history of detailed mind control and hypnosis. And if we begin to realize how old this is and how sophisticated it has become.
Yeah.
All of this knowledge, you know, it's no longer the gruesome mind control we know from MK Ultra experiments.
Right.
It's now, as you're saying, it's now integrated into the IT and it's run to perfection. And
right.
We need to have the history. And I would like to recommend this book to everybody.
Oh, it's fabulous. So
I got it from you.
Yeah, we've been buying copies in bulk and sort of handing them out.
Mm-hmm.
And I always tell people when I mail it to them, because it's got such a, you know, it's got the kind of cover designed to upset your spouse. Why are you reading these books? But it's really a very sober, serious look at the history. And the thing I like about it is it takes it back to the 1400s and the use by organized crime of these techniques.
Yes.
So anyway, we did an old Slayer report on mind control and we just did all the movies because there's so many movies now that describe this thing. Okay, so many links, many other things to talk about in mind control, but let's jump onto we're jumping onto covert operations. Okay, so we did a series called Deep State Tactics, 10 parts, where what happened was I did an overview in the first one and it was so popular I just kept going to drill down into all the different kinds of tactics. And I had no idea, you know, for months people were writing in and saying, oh, you know, I thought that was an accident or a coincidence. Mm-hmm. And now I realize I got played.
Mm-hmm.
And I had no idea how popular it would be, but we went through the whole thing. And if you are interested in understanding how the covert operations work, because this is where, you know, if the financial incentives didn't corral you sufficiently, and then the mind control plus the financial incentives didn't corral you, then they intercede.
Yeah.
So during the litigation, I was poisoned 8 times. You know, all of those were dramatic intercessions.
Mm-hmm.
Assassinations or intercessions. My car got run off the road, and they tried a couple of other times. That's an intercession. So these are covert operations, which can be physical or invisible. One time I had a bicycle accident, which I'm pretty sure was some kind of pulse weapon to throw the wheel and cause an accident. You know, I was in bed for a week with a concussion. So, and it's fairly, you'll see skiing or biking accidents like that. Anyway, but covert operations are all the, you know, when somebody shows up truly with a trench coat and follows you, that used to happen. All those different, either physical or forceful with invisible weapons tactics that really target a person. You and I have been very interested and talked a lot about the targeted individual phenomena.
Yes.
And I've always said, it's funny, I've always thought the targeted individual phenomena, people who are being electronically abused with these different weapons, and they call, some of the time they call them non-lethal weapons, I've always thought these folks were just experiencing the prototype of what was going to roll out and be used by everybody.
Yes.
I agree. So there, I've always said that in America that there are two kinds of people, targeted individuals and people who do not yet understand they're targeted individuals.
Yeah. Yes.
And I think we have ignored this phenomena at our peril.
Yes, totally. And it's so frightening. CIA MK Ultra programs that are known now in the laboratories, then the targeted individuals going into live arenas, and now really all of us. It's as you're saying, it's almost to be switched on, that control grid. And once it is, we are the targeted individuals, and we will experience a similar, you know, that being irradiated with debilitating frequencies that you can no longer think, you can no longer pray. We are already trained to not meet, not talk. It's high time. It's this is critical right now to understand. The switch is almost on.
So one of the things I think about when I think about discussing covert operations with you is many of my allies have experienced going on an adventure with me and discovering that they're being followed. They're like, what? This really happens to me? You know, it's kind of fun. Yes. And you and I, maybe we could do a quick progression of of being tracked and followed when you're with Catherine.
So the first that I remember, so I've been traveling with Catherine. She's been coming every summer, and we went to the Bregenz Opera, as many of you know. And so I decided one summer we also go to Verona Opera. And it was Beethoven's Ninth Symphony, and I was hoping for a great experience. And so we were there in Verona, and suddenly, perhaps you can also narrate it better, Catherine was pointing out someone is following us. And I thought,
we had a photographer following us. Well, the first thing that happened, we were getting a gelato, and I got a call from my bank saying, we just got a charge for 500 euros at Paris Disney. And wherever you are, we know you're not going to Disney. So, and I said, shut the car down. So it was obvious, you know, the fiddling had started. That's, you know, having to shut down a car in the middle of a travel is one of the first thing, you know, it's a classic tactic. Anyway, so the next thing you know, we got this photographer following us and snapping pictures. And so I decided, you know, I don't like this because I really am looking forward to seeing the Beethoven, and we were having a lot of fun. And so I did a little commentary about, you know, the photographer and you know, getting my card. And, you know, I decided, you know, I was going to spin back.
On Twitter, I remember you put it in.
I put it on the website and on Twitter, and it was funny. So because I got some feedback later from some spooky folks. Who knows whether they were telling the truth. But apparently they didn't expect me to spin it back. But I don't know if you remember the other thing that happened, because this used to happen to me during the litigation. We would... literally at the same moment they were using electromagnetic whatever on us, all the animals in the house and all the people in the house would suddenly have massive diarrhea. Like that.
Really?
Yeah, and it would happen to the animals and the people. And so we knew something was, you know.
I see.
So we're in the middle of Beethoven's Ninth, and suddenly before the, you know, the glorious, magnificent end, I have to run to the ladies' room. So I listened, and it was exactly the same. It was not, you know, it was very unnatural. I had to listen to the, you know, the beautiful ending of the Ninth from the ladies' bathroom, because they wouldn't let me back in. I couldn't get back in. But it was still beautiful. I didn't care.
Because I was thinking, where are you?
Where'd Catherine go?
A thousand people. But the other one, when we went to Chartres, do you remember that one?
Yeah, that was so funny because they were using their phones to coordinate.
Exactly. Remember? We were sitting there, three of us we were, and we're having coffee. And on that square, you know, Chartres is not a particularly pretty town. There's not much. There's the cathedral, of course.
It's magnificent.
It's magnificent.
Right.
But the rest, you know, it's an old French town. And then... we were sitting there having coffee, and I remember looking down this road. There was nothing in this road. There was not a sightseeing thing. There was no church. There was no nice building. There was not even a shop down there. And there were these people coming and sitting down and photographing into this direction where all of the three of us were sitting. And on the on that side, someone was sitting at the coffee table having their phone up, and I suddenly realized they are triangulating with the phones. I actually felt a certain frequency coming in. And later we saw them, first they were walking together, and then we saw them walk apart. So that was actually an amazing experience, because I really could see it unfolding and feel it and experience it. And yet the question is, I thought, why? What are they doing this for?
And you know, one of the things that was amazing when I dealt with the targeted individuals, what I discovered, a lot of the people were being targeted we make the mistake of thinking the celebrities are what's important. Mm-hmm. You know, he's famous, he's important. No, he's promoted. Mm-hmm. He, you know, and some of them are exceptionally talented. I'm not saying that. But if you look at the people who are really fighting for freedom and making an impact in the world, they don't promote them. You don't hear their name, but they're powerful in the field, and what they do spreads virally. Yeah. And that's their goal, to find those powerful freedom fighters in the field and sideline them because they're shifting the field. It's very much field management.
Wow. Yeah. I think that's so correct. Wow.
Right. Hmm. And we don't see our own power. That's we don't see our power.
That's it. That's it. And that's why if we come together with that understanding, with that awareness, with that sensitivity to the field and understanding how we can generate our own coherent field and inject it, there will be a big change. And it's also, I think, those covert operations, as you once said, they are a job program.
A lot of those people, they get a job on their phone. Yeah. They follow somebody around. Yeah. You know, it's $10 or $20 an hour, and they're just doing it to feed their family.
Yeah.
And most of the people I dealt with who were doing that kind of stuff, you know, I would talk to them. I would make friends with them. I would sometimes I'd circle back around and walk up behind them and give them candy and start talking to them, you know, make them really nervous. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times they'll be really scared of me because they're like, oh, God, she realizes I'm falling, you know, and they're just people trying to feed their families, most of them.
And this is the integration then again with the incentives from the financial side.
Right.
And And
I have to tell you, it's the biggest, watching each other and fiddling with each other is the biggest global industry. Mm. You know, they're automating everything, but that's where they create these job programs. Mm-hmm. I think part of it is just to keep us all busy.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. The waste of time that we also discussed, that our time is put into defending in protecting ourselves and not figuring out productive ways of life. And that is putting such a limit on our freedom. And we have to really slow down and figure out, first of all, where is the control? And then how do I put my time, my life, my DNA, literally, into being productive locally and with those who are in the field?
So one of the advantages I have, you know, somebody's probably listening to this and saying, you know, I'm never going to go to lunch with Catherine. But one of the advantages I have is I know when the covert operations are dangerous and when they're not. Mm-hmm. You know, so I know when to duck and know to not, or at least I have so far. And I pray I will continue to. So most of them are not dangerous. Mm-hmm. They are a job program. Yes. And you know, but there are some that are dangerous. Mm-hmm. And one of the most important things I can suggest, I'm constantly hearing that people aren't doing anything because they're stupid. Mm-hmm. And yet when you look at the specific, I know enough about what's happening on the ground to know that they're being smart. Mm-hmm. Because if they did what you want them to do, their child would be killed or taken away from them.
Yeah.
Okay. And so if you look at part of the challenge most people have in doing something is they can feel the control. They understand the risk of assassination, of poisoning, of getting their, you know, car blown up or whatever, but they don't know how to navigate it and they don't know how to deal with it and they don't know how to talk to other people about it. They don't know who they can trust. So they're frozen.
Yeah.
And that makes them look stupid to you. They're not stupid. They're smart. Right. So don't, I see a lot of people with a lot of education accusing a lot of people who don't have the same level of education being stupid, and they're very wrong. They're not stupid at all. And in fact, you know, if I was going to really go to war in a certain kind of way, I'd much rather have, you know, a bunch of people who spent the last 20 years trying to sell it for more than it costs them to make it. Mm-hmm. Who have lower IQs than people from Silicon Valley because they are just, they're so in the matrix they can't see reality, even though they're brilliant and they have great education, et cetera, but they're just
But it's clueless. Subsidized brilliance. It's
yeah, yeah,
it,
yeah.
Yeah, It's of course they are brilliant, but they have had it so easy and they have been financed to be brilliant.
Part of the covert operations is enforcement and regulatory harassment or targeting that is bogus. So it's kind of lawless. You know, it's Sheriff of Nottingham behavior by the government that can eat up, you know, 11 years of your time. I figured the government cost me 35,000 hours of my time, you know, getting my education. It was really getting my education in deep state politics. I shouldn't say it was a waste of time. Anyway, so when you take these three systems in combination, I did a wrap up called Control 101. But when you take these three systems in combination, you're talking about a very powerful vise. And we're just talking about the existing one. When you pull down the Constitution and you take the whole thing covert, like the Chinese system, we're talking about complete control. And the reason it's so important to see how this created the COVID op is because this is what we have to stop. It's not some mass delusion. We were worked one at a time. And if we can see that, then we can start to say, no, I'm not going to let the biometrics go into place. I'm not going to comply with the vaccine passports. I'm not, you know, I'm going to use cash and not let the digital, you know, the financial transaction system be all digital. I'm going to talk to my bank about why are they collecting this data and who are they sharing it with. You know, I'm going to push back.
Yes, I'm going to manage my use of the smartphone and the Wi-Fi in the home. I will not be so stupid and have it next to my bed when I sleep. So these are the tiny things, but as we are micromanaged in control, we have to realize our micro steps, our little changes, they make the difference. Many people think, oh, I can't do anything anyway. It's mass formation, but we can. We have to.
Tremendous. What you can do is you can pull yourself out of the trance and become more coherent. And if you do, that's so powerful, particularly because then you start to take over the power of your intention, your power to to really make a difference. Okay, so where they want to go, it's hard for some people to fathom how invasive they want the control to be. We don't have to hang on it. We've talked about it, but I absolutely believe that the most financially successful investment opportunity historically, where has Mr. Global made the most money, is in slavery.
Yes.
And if you look at the reasons that slavery has been outlawed in most jurisdictions, digital technology solves the problems that they couldn't solve before. And now we have the ability to go to 100% slavery system in a way that Mr. Global believes it's going to work.
And that's the so-called body network. This is having sensors on you. We're already having a sensor on us. So if we walk with our smartphones or with the smartwatches or whatever is so smart, there is already part of this being ingrained into that tracking of the slaves that wasn't possible in former centuries and is now possible through the digital enslavement, as you're saying. Do you think they will go even deeper? They will go into the body?
I think they're already in the body. Mm-hmm. If you look at the materials that were in the spray and what we see when we look at Morgellons disease, I'm convinced that nano dust on consumer products, nano dust. We did a wonderful Solaria report with a professor, retired professor from Purdue University, used to be in military intelligence, who's identified secret ingredients in the food. So nanodust and consumer products, secret ingredients in the food that are clearly nano-engineered. You and I have looked at a lot of the sort of information on the unusual secret ingredients that are in the injections, and we're still not clear what's in it. And it appears to me that there are different batches in different places, and a lot of things are being prototyped.
I would agree.
But I'm convinced that they are driving for brain-machine interface and body-machine interface. Mm-hmm. And they literally, you know, they are prototyping everything from a human robot to a robot who's human-like, and they're testing and trying everything, and they're very serious about, you know, transhumanism. They plan to integrate digital technology deeply into the human body.
And they understand that this is also where the blockchain comes in. So if there is digital signals from every molecule or every cellular transaction in the body, this is going to be a type of a biological blockchain.
Right. And part of this is getting financial accountability in the general population. That's blockchain is one way to do it. If you look at Sophia Smallstorm's description of using the human body to generate the energy that the human body needs to live on.
Exactly.
You know, so we all know the story of the sneaker that generates, you know, energy for your computer.
Yep.
It's no different than, you know, integrating these things into the human body. And as we walk around, we generate energy to help power the world.
Yes, and not only power in terms of energy, but there's a basic intelligence. We don't even have to use brain intelligence, but there is processing power that can be taken. It's like a...
Right, so imagine the Bitcoin guys mining their Bitcoin on your DNA.
Yes, exactly, exactly. I do think that this is a possibility, ultimately.
You know...
It's far-fetched, but...
Well, but here's the thing. In my experience, the technology is always very far ahead of what they're telling you is available.
Yes.
So, you know, we have two worlds. We have the breakaway civilization, you know, over here and the black budget and secret. And then we have our world and we're using, you know, legacy technology and they're way, way ahead. I mean, don't tell me they're not using Tesla in the underground basis. I mean,
yes.
Of course,
as DARPA is using the epigenome to figure out where you have been. They can read this.
Right. Kind of way, if you look at, you know, because if you look at the sort of the database tech or the sort of global databases they were building in the 90s, mm-hmm. I know what I was building with Community Wizard. They were building the inversion of it. I called it the Data Beast.
Yes.
And if you look at Promise Software and then Main Core and the other things they were building, I realized, oh, they're trying to get to their own synthetic version of the Akashic Records.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. You know, they're trying to build sort of the demonic version of the divine hierarchies. It's very, you know, and of course, right in the middle is the Pope. Here we go. Okay. So just quickly, let's talk a little bit about, we're going to put lots of links of the information we've produced on how to protect yourself mm-hmm. and how to start to grapple with this. Mm-hmm. And as you learn about it, you want to take those actions. So I just want to mention a few, but we'll have the links in the commentary. I think the great thing about facing this is that's how you discover your power.
Mm-hmm.
And when you discover your power, it's amazing when you watch Wave Genome and you realize how powerful we are,
mm-hmm.
or you listen to John Rappaport on The Matrix Revealed and you realize how powerful we are. It's like, wow. Okay. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, part of this is facing the fact you're mind controlled, but that you can reduce the mind control, and also facing the fact when you look at the power grid, we're kind of between Scylla and Charybdis here, because if we allow ourselves to comply our way into slavery, we're toast. If we fight, mm-hmm. we could lose and get killed,
mm-hmm.
but that's probably a better option. You know, having a small chance is better than no chance. If we comply, we have no chance, we're toast. If we fight, we have a chance and we'll have a lot more fun in the meantime. But it's a, you know, it's not like there's no workaround here.
No.
We're facing serious risk. Mm-hmm. One way, I'll say it this way. One way we're facing hopelessness, the other way we're facing serious risk. There's no way to take that risk away.
Yeah, it's beautifully said, hopelessness or serious risk. And I think it's up now for each one of us to make this decision. And how do we make that decision? We need to know who we are, what is being human, what is the potential of the human civilization. And we will fight for this, and we will live for this, not for slavery, because it doesn't make sense.
And there are thousands of ways to do it. Each person's unique. You got to find your way, you know. And somebody says, there's nothing I can do. Pray. Yeah. Pray. Create an intention of freedom. Right.
Yes.
We've done a ton of spiritual warfare, Solaire reports. I have always found prayer to be the most effective navigation tool when I don't know what to do.
Yes.
You do a lot with prayer.
And it plays into understanding it's the cosmology or the anthropology that we are entertaining. Are we material animals or are we divinely created beings?
Right.
And if we understand ourselves like that, there is the way out. There is the promise. There is the covenant. There is the power of prayer and of the higher thoughts coming through that.
Whenever I can't solve a problem, I have to go to a higher consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
So we have the Coming Clean article. It's always good to go through that. But in the first quarter of 2021, we did take action, a wrap-up,
mm-hmm.
which has loosened technology's grip. So Corey Lynn helped us make a complete checklist of all the things you could do, you know, to sort of reduce, you know, not turn into a Luddite, but reduce the sort of influence this stuff can have. So get your technology down to a place where it's working better for you without...
Extremely important, please, everybody. The most important is have your home, at least your bedroom, have it free, have it shielded, or do anything to reduce the electromagnetic interference.
Right. You know, several subscribers have had wonderful results finding... They're not all good, so you have to be careful. But finding an EMF radiation expert to come in and sort of, you know, and we've seen sick people get well and angry people suddenly discover they're not angry. Oh, it was entrainment. Okay, Solaire Circles is in the take action because I think it helps to team up.
Yes.
I mean, I could not possibly stay coherent without the Solaire team.
Yes.
We really help each other and... Yes. I just think one person can't see everything. Mm-hmm. And so if you can find some other freedom-loving, you know, relatively unmind-controlled people, we can help each other a lot. I'm going to go through these very quickly. One is I'm going to post a link to an article I wrote called Let Not the Sun Go Down on Your Anger. And I found that it's very easy to get angry at what's going on. And but you have to be careful because anger can make things much worse in many ways. I'll leave it to the article. So learning how to use your anger to propel you into action but not sabotage you is critical.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I have another one called Operating by Seas. You know, I was a person who used to have 10-year and 5-year plans. And then suddenly I got into an environment where the change was so rapid.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was lucky if I could have a plan for the next hour.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And it was a big switch. So I wrote that about sort of learning how to rock and roll. And then finally, two more. One I love and I keep bringing up in Blast from the Past is called Turtle Forth.
Mm-hmm.
Because this is a world where small actions are powerful.
Mm-hmm.
And you need to just keep, you know, the greatest weapon of the other team is to persuade you it's hopeless, which it never is.
It is never.
But it can easily look hopeless, and the pathway won't open until you say, uh-uh, I'm not going along, we're going to stand. Boo! Suddenly the universe opens and, you know, the door opens. So, but you have to really enjoy small actions, and it's the... You know, the thousands of small actions that really become powerful.
Exactly.
I don't know. So I had to go from learning to think really big
mm-hmm.
when I was on Wall Street in billion-dollar increments to thinking in terms of pennies mm-hmm. and dimes and nickels. And I would also say, you know, I'm constantly interested in money, but that's because I find money to be a great mapping tool.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what's really going on here? Yeah. It's what, you know, the reporter said, follow the money. Finally, my all-time favorite, the story of Gideon,
mm-hmm.
because I have found the place where our, you know, the freedom lovers get sabotaged is they drag the dead rats in. You know, it's the cat that's always dragging the dead rat in. You know, you have to, we don't need a lot of people, but if we're going to take advantage of divine and the field, we need to limit our interactions wherever possible to people who are faithful and competent.
Yes.
And the number one industry on the other side is hiring people to sabotage us.
Yes. And the sabotage is very much in the faith. By taking away the faith, by sabotaging relationships, that faith component is really up to the individual to maintain. And faith is a gift of the Holy Spirit. It's not only religious education or something. Faith is, there's a whole chapter or several chapters in the New Testament about faith, how important faith is to maintain that faith of our power and our salvation, literally, in that time of struggle, and then combine it, as you say, with the intelligence, with the overview that you have, and with the competence. I think this is what we have to look for.
One of my, you know, we have this little prayer book, and one of my favorite passages in the prayer book is from a preacher who, one of my favorite sermons is on Corinthians, and now abideth faith, hope, and love.
Yes.
And he preaches around the world abideth. And what he says is, you know, as long as you protect your faith, hope, and love,
yes.
you're like a Balo doll. You can always come back.
Yes.
You know, mm-hmm. you get whacked and you come back. And this is going to sound darker than it feels.
Mm-hmm.
But most of what I've learned about sort of how things work politically and financially has come from betrayals.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, somebody acts against their own self-interest, or somebody breaks their covenant with you, mm-hmm. you know, or, you know, there are thousands of examples, but it's when that happens, you see how things really work. And so you get whacked and you've got to come back from that, and you've got to find the opportunity in that. And it's like the Balo doll who, after it punches, always comes back. And I think that sermon is exactly right. It's that faith, hope, and love.
Yeah.
And one of the great expressions he says in it, and this gets back to the sabotage and the rats, he says, if you're going to the basement, you have to get off my elevator and take the stairs. He says, my elevator only goes to the first floor.
Very good. Beautiful.
Because you have that faith, hope, and love, and you're not going there.
This is where the love comes in, and in order to purify, especially after betrayal, to purify our hearts again, to our minds, our energy field, that we're not destroyed by that feeling of betrayal and how dark it all is. So the love and the hope, then together with the faith, yes.
My favorite, I loved, I'm going to mispronounce her name, Rani Kilday, the Finnish doctor.
Rani. Yes.
Mm-hmm. How do you say it again?
Rani Lena Kilday.
Kilday. Mm-hmm. And, you know, at the... In her book, and right at the end of her life, she kept saying, "Love is the answer."
Yeah.
So we want to be in love, but we want to know when to duck.
Yes, exactly. And what for? Yes.
Okay. Well, control and freedom happen one person at a time. What Uli and I, our goal for you is that you're free, but. To get free, we want you to turtle your way out of being controlled and to appreciate how you're being controlled.
Yeah.
And the more of us who can do it and help each other, the harder, you know, if we can up our control immune system, it's going to make it that much harder. And we still have that. I'm convinced no matter how many satellites and weapons Mr. Global has, we still can turn this around, because it's a, if you look at everybody who's building the control grid, it's us.
Yeah.
If you look at who's financing it.
If we break that, then it cannot be built. There will be these holes, and there will be the stop ultimately. Yes.
Right. Mm-hmm. Okay, well, I'm prepared to take the shot.
Yeah. Actually, I'm too. You know, it's who am I in the higher world? That is much more important. And who is the children in the future? That is much more important.
So the sword, I just want to bring up, because you do a lot on the Sword of Michael and the Archangel Michael. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Thomas Meyer taught me that the Archangel Michael was the archangel at the Gideon, when Gideon's armies moved. Mm-hmm. And so maybe if we could just close by you telling us why you have focused on the Archangel Michael and what understanding the Archangel Michael can do to help us here.
Well, the Archangel Michael is seen as he's the protector of faith, and faith is you know, the pistis sophia means faith and wisdom. So we need both.
Right.
Faith
right.
is that elementary capacity. It's a gift of the spirit. It's an element of the higher mind, and he protects that. But Michael is also the protector of the divine image. His name means who is like God, Michael. And there we have that we are made in the image and similitude of the divine. So he protects the bodily integrity of the image of the divine on this planet or on other planets as well. And that is not only a physical integrity of a physical flesh and blood body, but it's that energy body as well. It's image and similitude. And so we, whenever it is time in history to protect exactly that last stronghold of the presence of the divine in ourselves as the temple of the Holy Spirit, we have to call upon the Archangel Michael to come with his forces, and because I think that's the struggle right now. And
absolutely.
Also to go back to the Book of Enoch, there is of course not only Michael, but there's other angels, but primarily Michael, who is fighting the fallen angels. And I think we are at that point again in history.
They seem to be everywhere.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, Ulrich, thank you so much for joining me,
Catherine,
on the Soleri Report. And we're excited because you're recording a good one soon. I won't give it away. We'll wait until it's ready. But we're so grateful to be in cahoots with you and appreciate your work so much.
Well, and we are grateful for your guidance. And if you look at all that you have listed, what you have already written over years, all the reports, it's all there. And we have to bring it together.
Yeah. Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us on the Soleri Report. Have a great day.